Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius. That's me, episode 12. A little bit later today, we'll be doing chapter 5 of Brightside. Hopefully, you guys have been enjoying that story. It will continue a little bit later. First, a little recap of what's been going on. If you're not already aware of it, I'm already filming these in advance. I wanted to make sure I wouldn't be too overwhelmed with having to do one every week, but I want to put one out every week, so I'm filming them ahead of time. And but it's been a couple weeks since I filmed because I've just been busy with shit. Also, last 2 weeks I've been getting stem cell injections. So I've had two injections in my right shoulder. It had been really bad with arthritis, always crunching. I have two little tears in there. And so instead of surgery, I decided to opt for the stem cell injections. Hopefully that will be making a difference. It can take up to 8 weeks to tell whether or not it's helping. But the tough part is I haven't been doing any yoga. I haven't been able to do much at all because I have to minimize movement. So, I mean, there's shit I could be doing, like exercise, bike, or other stuff. But gives me a chance, an excuse to be lazy. So, yeah, I haven't been doing too much on the physical front. On the writing front, though, things are exciting. I just put out Ain't No Messiah for pre-order. So if you guys want to pre-order that, you can get it on Amazon, iTunes, Barnes & Noble, pretty much anywhere they have books. If you are interested in an advanced copy that you can review, hit me up for the ebook and just tell me what format you want it in. You could also get it on NetGalley. And if you're in the U.S. and want the paperback, if you promise to leave a review, because those are the only copies I'm giving out, definitely be a limited number, hit me up. And I will try to get that to you. So far we had one person respond. She read it like in a day. Actually, two people. They both read it in pretty much a day, which is pretty awesome. And they both seemed to like it. So excited about that. Pretty much done with Try Not to Die in Brightside. Actually need to develop the cover for that now. We're currently working on an animated clip. I'll show some of those pictures a little bit later. After chapter 5, but it's just going to be, we're going to see if we can develop it either into an app, a TV show, or maybe a game, and I'm going to use it for advertising. So that 2-minute animated clip will be out probably in about a month or so. So we're currently working on that, but it's nice that the writing part of that is done. Just need the cover, and then again, that'll be out for pre-orders probably within the next month. Definitely by December, I think. What else is happening? I think last week I talked about how I'd been working on, cannabis. So I originally was doing the Sober October, took off the entire month. At first I thought I was going to, I figured November 1st I was going to be smoking like crazy. But I realized I really didn't really need it anymore. So kind of feel like a quitter. But I took off like an additional 9 days, didn't touch it. And then just, I wanted to see how it was going to be, reintroduced it a little bit, and didn't get a whole lot from it. I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those things now that I just simply use to, help relax or hang out with friends or whatever else. Before it was definitely more of a medication, more of an escape, seemed to make everything better, but right now everything's pretty fucking good, so I don't know, I just don't seem to need it. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. As for the short stories, those have been going well. I was talking about the ones that I was developing, the Taking Out the Trash, Stuffed, and a couple others. I put those on pause because I'm really, I was going through all my old stories that are possibilities and cleaning those up first. It's so much easier to do, but it is a lot of work. Even the ones that were already published before, man, it's crazy how I just have to pretty much destroy them. The whole page is red. I was showing it to my son Jake, and I'm like, he's like, what are all those lines? I was like, those are words that I just don't need. I was like, they're either the wrong word or those whole sentences I just didn't need to be there. It's too much explaining. And I was taking a look at the word count, and on almost every story, I'm cutting between 15 to 20%. So I've definitely tightened up my writing style, if nothing else. So yeah, I think those ones are going to be pretty cool so far on the list. So these are all stories that are probably going to go, I don't know if they're going to go into one full length edition or if it's going to be two, because some of them are simply, some of them are more of like the thriller feel to it, or suspense, crime stories, and then some of the other ones are horror, they have a monster or supernatural element. So I don't know how those would go together. Once I come up with all the stories, I think then we'll choose. We'll try to decide what makes the most sense. But the stories we have right now are The Feeling's Back, Pillow Talk, Marked, Gone for Good, Left Unfinished, Left Behind, The Fine Print, and Last in Line. And of those, I think only The Last in Line and Fine Print haven't been published before. The other ones were published in small magazines or anthologies. So it was cool to rework those. One other thing I've done this past month was get back into reading. I never read, or if I do read, it's usually nonfiction. But I picked up a Stephen King book, Under the Dome. It's a thick one. But I was really into it. I was crazy. I don't know. I'm usually so preoccupied with other stuff, but with this, I wanted to keep going back to it. I would go back to it a couple times during the day, never for really long sessions, but that was also how I was ending my nights. I was just reading before bed. So it was kind of a cool thing to get back into. And then I enjoyed the story as well. So I'll probably pick up another one soon, but not nearly as thick because it cut into, I was thinking about how many hours that probably took for me to read. Like, and my guitar time, like playing guitar, has really gone down this month. A couple other things really gone down. Like, that's part of the problem. So, fuck reading. Unless it's my stuff, then just go ahead and read it, and your other things don't matter. Spend the time reading my stuff. There you go. Or Stephen King. He's fucking awesome. But what else? Oh, one interesting thing was when I was going through all my short stories, I realized that the original Try Not to Die, there was a lot to it that was not used. I had this massive thing planned out. It was way too confusing. There were so many parts. I went to different parts and it was all over the place. I realized I could probably do something with that story. So much of it was already set. And so I was digging through it. I was like, okay, this path works, this path works, this path works. I like this, this, and this. We would change it to this. Here's a cool story. It'll be pretty simple to do. I'll just have to find the right person to help me do it. And so I asked my daughter, who definitely has an interest in writing, and we're going to be working on stuff together. I asked her if she was interested in it. And she thought about it she may have thought about it overnight. And the next day she told me in the car, she's like, no, she's like, I really don't want to. I was like, okay, that's cool. She's like, what? She's like, well, it's because I want to do my own. And we ta started talking about what it was. And yeah, she wants to do Try Not to Die in art class. And what's pretty awesome is on our drives to school, we're developing it. So it's fully plotted out. And yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it should be cool. Who knows when it will be finished. But, you know, there's no rush, too. And that's what I've let her know. Like, she's just developing this ability now. So even if it takes another year or 2 years or 3 years, it'll just be that much better when it's actually finished. But something exciting for me to see. It was cool to see that she was upset when she got to school and had to stop. She didn't want to put her notebook down because she was in the middle of creating, in the middle of thinking. And it's awesome to see how quickly these things can take place, you know, if I'm just asking her questions about these characters, and not, you know, and just asking her like she already knows the answer, even if she hasn't even thought about it. I was like, okay, well, what does our teacher look like? And then throwing out some couple different ideas, and you know, and it comes pretty quickly when you get down to it like that. So yeah, so that's been fun. What else? What else? What else? I don't know. So that's pretty much it. That's what's been going on with me. I'm still going through the short stories, trying to. I have to finish. I still have to input a bunch of them. That's the bad part about making so many changes. It looks cool on paper. It's easy on paper, but then I go to the computer and switch it all out. And that takes a little while because I can't read my fucking writing. That's part of the problem. But I'll probably get that done. I want to do that before we leave for Rhode Island. We're going to go to Rhode Island for Thanksgiving. That should be fun to visit with friends and family. Jake has a really good friend out there, my buddy Carl, and his son. So we'll be hanging out with them. We'll stop by Brown, get to show my kids that. And I don't know, should be fun. And then see my family out there as well. And I love trips because then I can think about, okay, what am I going to work on? I'm either going to work on some more short stories, or I will take Beyond Brightside with me. That's the next big thing. But I think I'll probably finish these stories first. Once I have those done, set to the side, then it'll be fun just to jump right into Beyond Brightside and finish that thing up. But speaking of Brightside, why don't we get to the story? Yeah, last week we did chapter 4, so this week is chapter 5. All right, guys, here it is, narrated by T. Quillen, Brightside. Check it out.
Chapter 5. Brightside was plastic. It was all just pretend. Everything. The jobs, the town, the council, our freedom to shop. Every detail fabricated so we wouldn't jump off the ledge of this damn mountain. And the plastic rubbed off. It let me pretend Rachel and I were in love, that Michelle had come to rescue me, that I had options. It almost got me killed. Day 8, I showed up to my job and pretended to work. Rachel kept sneaking glances. She was out of my range. The first few times I'd seen her, she wore thick pants, long-sleeve skirts. This time she was in that red leather skirt, her legs smooth and sexy all the way to the slit. I wished I'd never drawn that stupid picture. She said she was going to try out the diner, heard they had good burgers. She asked if I'd like to go. She wanted to pretend this was all just fucking fine. I guess I needed that too, because I said sure. The first few dates were intense. Neither of us had ever been with a thought thief before Brightside. It amplified every quiet moment. No more pretense. No more lying. Even the bad shit felt good, because it was true. Our accelerated relationship let us believe we'd met our soulmates. I didn't even care when I received Michelle's letter, the one telling me how happy she was I'd been taken to Brightside, that I was out of her life. She said she felt raped by our relationship, that I'd lied, stolen every private thought. She wanted me to die a slow, painful death. But to hell with her, I had Rachel, someone who loved me for me. It made me feel worthy. It made me feel better. I did drawings for Danny, promised him one a week. Sometimes I gave him two. I wasn't a real artist, but Danny liked them. They brightened his day. I'd spent my whole life hurting and disappointing other people, manipulating them. With Danny, I just had to move my pencil. Vertical and horizontal lines flying across the paper. The images took shape. A massive brick wall filling the page, a hawk soaring through the sky. My entire second week in Brightside, I'd sit on the bench sketching, put on my oversized headphones. I knew people laughed. I heard all their silent jokes, but I didn't give a shit. I grabbed the eraser, put a giant hole in the middle of the wall, and then picked up the blue pencil. Brilliant blue skies and a luscious green meadow on the other side of the wall. A pile of broken bricks gathered under the hole. A young boy climbing up it. The boy had a lopsided grin on his face as he grasped the hand of an unseen man reaching through. Freedom. It's not very often I looked at one of my drawings and smiled. They were never that good. But this one was, and Danny loved it. All he needed was a drawing to make him happy. Rachel needed more, especially when she heard me dreaming of Michelle. Day 39, when I couldn't give her the answer because pretending was so fucking exhausting. Then the boots came to take her away. 2 nights later, after my session with Sharon on day 41, I found myself walking. I couldn't sleep. It wasn't as cold as it had been the day I'd burned my 5-year-old face, but cold enough to snuggle into my jacket and zip it up all the way. Cold enough to remind me my low expectations for this place had been way too high. The cabin sat up on the hill, where Rachel was most likely sitting in some catatonic state, wondering why she ever trusted me. I could have visited, but I didn't want to see what I'd done. I shoved both hands in my pockets and went to the railing overlooking the park. I leaned on it, but not too far because the weld looked weak, and 15 feet was only high enough to hurt. Still, it was too high. I stepped back. Bright sides spread out before me. Our nothing of a town stuck on the side of a mountain. The cemetery was another 200 feet up, 300 yards to the Welcome Center. The town of telepaths was hard at work. My thoughts all my own. The statue of Jonas Stonebrook stood by the pond. Jonas was the founding father of this place. His son William had been branded a thought thief. Some guy shot him in his home. William bled out on his bathroom floor. Jonas was old, angry. Thought there was a better way. He sold the land up here for a buck. Thought he was giving the government a humane option. The statue of the skinny old man with his gray hair and scraggly beard stood stoically by the frozen water, almost like he was lost in thought. I wondered if he regretted creating Brightside. I stayed on the path until I hit the woods, the full and bright moon illuminating the way. I headed for the tallest tree, found the 5 long slashes buried in the bark, Michelle's name scratched out. Rachel's name in her place. I pulled out the knife I'd swiped from the diner. Started scratching it out. I don't know why. I suppose I was simply crossing off another woman. Another broken heart. Bullshit love. I told myself things could last with Michelle, even if she found out the truth. Then I tried to believe it was even better with Rachel. Always pretending. Making shit up in my head to believe I had a chance, that happiness was possible, even for someone like me. Sharon would say my expectations were the problem, that they were setting me up for failure. Reality can never live up to your imagination. Expectations imply a future, which doesn't exist. There's only the present. The next day, I met Crystal. I was at the deli, and something smacked the tile behind me, made me jump. I spun around and bumped into this amazing ass, grabbed it for balance so neither of us fell. Crystal was bent over, straight-legged, picking up a small box from the floor. I couldn't see her face, but the bright red hair gave Crystal away. That and her ass pointed right at me. Her white bakery coat, so short I could see the tiniest strand of her red thong. I'd seen her a few times, but I always thought she was too intimidating, her arms covered in tattoos, her pierced nipples on full display under that tight shirt. I wasn't thinking about Rachel locked away in the cabin. I also wasn't thinking about work, because I was done for the day. I was only thinking about the present. Crystal's ass. I let go of it and said, "I'm sorry." I left my hand on her hip to help her up. Kept it there because she was nice to touch. Crystal didn't pull away. She backed up into me, gave me a little bump, then turned around. I knew her name, but we'd never been this close. Her eyes so green, I never had a chance. I let myself think every nasty thought. Let her know it didn't bother me she was listening. Crystal was used to guys thinking these things, but they'd never say it out loud. I wasn't either, but thinking it like a roar. In just about the sweetest voice I'd ever heard, Crystal said, "Hi there." Then she stuck out the tip of her tongue, slid it all the way around to wet her smile. "Aren't you different?" "You have no idea." Crystal did the thing with her tongue again, real slow. She was sizing me up, taking in her latest catch. "You doing anything right now?" I shook my head, couldn't believe what was happening. But I was standing right there, letting my thoughts cascade. She loved it. Crystal wanted to fuck me. I couldn't wait to oblige. I pointed at her uniform. "Aren't you working?" "I can do whatever I want." She took off her work coat and headed for the door. "You coming?" My "holy shit, this is really happening" happiness shattered. Sheila, this nosy bitch from work, stood 4 feet away. She was friends with Rachel. Crystal walked by Sheila, completely ignored her. Crystal wasn't ashamed she hadn't said a word about Charlie, the guy she was dating. I hadn't said a word about Rachel. Sheila looked down at her watch, her long brunette hair hiding her face. She didn't want to see me. She hadn't meant to overhear. She wouldn't tell anyone else, she promised. My new attitude turned Sheila on. Crystal pulled me out the door and paraded me back to her place, neither of us giving a shit what anyone thought. Lodge 2 was the exact duplicate of my building. Walking to work in the morning, I could see right through every window. Crystal's room was halfway down the left side, right in the middle, overlooking the park. Right where she wanted it so everyone could see what she did. I pinned her up against the wall, ripped her underwear off like she said to. We fell on the floor, did things to each other I've never even imagined. I felt nothing but the moment. I used to feel guilt. Women would look at me, their minds giving away their secrets, a map into their pants. I'd take advantage, use their thoughts to get them in bed. They never knew what a dirtbag I was. But Crystal knew, and she fucking loved it. Of course I ruined it. It's what I do. We'd just finished, both of us sweaty, the sheets all bunched up. She thought about the last time she'd done something like this, back in Vegas. No holds barred at the Green Door. I wondered if anyone could count the number of men who'd seen Crystal's tits. How many tourists had stuffed dollar bills into her G-string? Let their hands linger, feel her soft skin. How many men she'd gotten hard, whispered in their ears, telling them every dirty thing they wanted to hear. Crystal rolled over, tugged up her panties. "Fuck you." I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I'm always thinking about everything the wrong way. The answers didn't matter. None of it did. Crystal used what she had to trick men into handing over fistfuls of cash. It wasn't any different than what I did at BMW. Crystal didn't judge me for how I made money. I had no right to question her. But there I was, doing the same shit I always did. Crystal threw my clothes at me. "Get the fuck out!" With other women, I deluded myself into thinking it was okay to manipulate them. It made up for all the terrible things I had to hear. Crystal felt the same, but she didn't want to listen to my bullshit thoughts. She kicked me out, me hopping around with one pant leg on, trying to slip in the other. Before she slammed the door, I looked at Crystal. Really looked at her. Crystal was her hair. Torch crimson. Fire red. Crystal was her clothes. Bakery jacket a size too small. No bra underneath. Her sweatshirt couture. proving she was worth every penny. Crystal was her face, beautiful, molded, injected. Crystal was Mom. That's what I thought about as I hopped out of the building. The way Mom loved to go to church and shake her ass for all the lonely men. Just like Crystal. I was 5. 2 days after I'd been lost in the snow, my cheeks burnt and basted with butter. Mom took me to church wearing her tightest red dress, the one that pushed her boobs up, the thin black bra straps peeking out from the shoulders. Dad never went to church with us.
"No, I think I'm going to pass," he'd say. "Maybe I'll go later."
But he never went anywhere with large groups. I didn't understand why. Mom opened the church door super slow, loving the loud creak that made almost everyone turn around and look, especially the men. All I wanted was to not be noticed, embarrassed of my cheeks. Not Mom. She wasn't there to blend. She was there to be coveted, so she got her hips swinging back and forth even further. Teenage boys sat up straighter. Men pretended they were looking at the sorry little kid behind her. Women shook their heads. When we got to the third row, Mom did something with her hand, touching her face once, her chest 3 times. The row was full. No one moved. They just pretended they didn't see Mom standing there in her Blood of Christ red dress, the black beneath. Mom squeezed in and pulled me in beside her, my shoulder rubbing her arm. The closest we'd been in a while. The bench was harder than anything I'd sat on. The reason I thought so many people were on their knees. Mom saw me looking at the exit and pointed down by my feet. She whispered, "Pray for your sins." I got down, glad to be further away from her perfume and thoughts. But I heard the others. All the scary shit they were thinking. I heard them pray for the dying and the dead, for a piece of my mom's ass, for forgiveness of sins, for winning the damn lottery, swearing they'd donate some. Some guys were thinking about sex or their fantasy football teams. A teenager thought I was lucky I got to suck on Mom's tits. I blocked the voices by doing my own thinking, wondering what a sin was. Figuring I probably had a bunch of them, way more than my share. I wasn't sure how to pray, but I guessed it was like wishing. Just another thing that wouldn't come true. Mom said that was enough and pulled me back towards the people behind me. All their thoughts filling my head, making me want to smash it. I pressed my hands to my eyes to help quiet the voices, especially Mom, who was thinking about the man in front of us, the one with 2 kids but no wife. My cheeks still stung when she pushed on them. Mom hit my arm. I put my hands back on my lap and there were huge flakes of skin sticking to my fingers. I rubbed my hands on my pants and then touched my face to see if there was more. Every time my hand came down, more pieces came with it, each one bigger than the ones before. My cheeks were shedding skin. I prayed my whole body would do that, just rub away the whole thing. I kept trying until Mom saw the mess covering my pants. She grabbed my hand, jerked it away from my face, and squeezed it hard. She looked right at me, the big patches under each eye. "I can't take you anywhere," she said. "I'm sorry." Mom didn't hear me. She was too busy pushing me out of the pew, saying excuses for me as we stormed out. Some people thinking what a terrible mother dragging her diseased son. When I stepped out onto the square, I kept thinking about Mom, Crystal, their tits and asses. That's what I was thinking when I almost bumped into Wayne King. His eyes smiling above all that beard, spilling over his orange jumpsuit.
"Mommy and your girlfriend, fucking nice."
Wayne leaned on his snow shovel, his eyes never leaving me. not even when the guard took notice, started walking past the dozen other people in jumpsuits. The people who'd snapped long before Brightside. They'd killed people, robbed banks, tortured. Everyone's thoughts infected their brains, turned them into savages. Most Brightsiders cheated. They scammed, got women into the sack, drained a guy's life savings. Some just use it to win at charades. Nothing violent. Not like the ones in Orange. The only people here kept behind bars, allowed to work outside if they were good. Normal prisons couldn't hold them. They always found a way out. Wayne knew the Brightside guard was coming, already telling him to get back to work. At just 4 feet away, I heard Wayne's thoughts loud and clear. That I looked like his favorite victim. The one he gutted real good and scooped out the insides. Turned the belly into his outhouse. The one he filled up, then left for the bears. The victim had looked at him wrong. Thought he needed a bath. That's the kind of sick fuck Wayne was. Wayne said, "We should find some time to talk more about your mom." The guard ran up. "We got a problem, King?" "Not a problem at all, sir." Wayne went back to shoveling snow. He whistled to the image of my mom and Crystal's naked bodies rolling around the bed. I tried not to run back to my place. Tried to get Wayne's sick thoughts out of my head. Everything was spinning, my head, my stomach. I couldn't breathe. I'd heard enough twisted shit in my life to fill a canyon. People weren't as innocent as we were led to believe. They think about horrifying acts. But they're just thoughts, fleeting desires. Wayne King followed through. That image of Mom and Crystal knocking around in my brain. I'd never thought of Mom that way. Other men had. So many others. Did I crave that attention? Is that why I chose the women I did? My thoughts were interrupted by the strangest thing. A present at my door. A medium box wrapped so poorly I assumed it was from Danny. Then I noticed it had been opened and rewrapped. Brightside inspected every gift from the outside. This was from my dad.
We are back. Ooh, a gift from Dad. What could that be? And what about Crystal and Mom? Hopefully you guys are enjoying that. Gets a little weird. I like doing the church scene, being forced to go to church as a kid. That was a big one for me. But unlike Joe, we had to go all the time. Every Sunday, plus Sunday school, plus, what was it, catechism, CCD. Plus 4 years of Catholic high school. Man. But I am grateful for all that because I wouldn't have written Ain't No Messiah without it. Or that church scene with Joe and his mom where everyone's praying for everything, you know, praying for a piece of ass and whatever else. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with going to church. But not for me. I'll stay away probably for the rest of my life. Or until I get really, really old and I'm about to die. I'm like, oh, I better find Jesus, maybe then. But until then, not going to do it. I'll be sleeping in or waking up early because of the kids and fixing breakfast and that sort of thing. But that's how I will be spending my Sundays. There's something else. There's Wayne King. All right, so Wayne King, crazy dude. What'd he do? He chopped up the guy's stomach and used him for an outhouse, filled up his belly with shit. Kind of gross, but that's just the kind of person Wayne is. And here he is animated. So this is, well, a picture of him. He's not animated yet. He will be animated. I mean, moving all around and chasing someone. Who that someone will be, you do not know, because that's going to be in Try Not to Die in Brightside. So we're making a quick little video, the first scene in the book. It's like maybe a 1 minute video. And then there are going to be three choices. Two of them will be death scenes. Yes. And one will be the correct answer. And then we will be shopping that around, seeing what we're going to do with it, whether we're going to make it ourselves or sell it. But we're excited about it. I'm working with my good friend, Jeff Campbell. He's the artist who did he did the cover for Ain't No Messiah. He's working on all the Try Not to Dies. We're rebranding it, redoing the cover for Grandma's House. And so they all have the same feel. And he also did my Unlock in the Cage animated video and a bunch of other stuff for me. So very talented. Glad to have him on this. And there's also a picture of Becky. Oh, damn it. I just said who it is. Well, you'll find out about Becky later. No big deal. No spoiler, really. Because with Try Not to Die in Brightside, you don't necessarily know when it's taking place. Actually, you know what? I can give you that, too. It takes place on day 100, same as the main story in Brightside. But it's her, and in fact, this scene is going to be, the animated scene, is her waking up first thing in the morning. So it pretty much starts out the same place as Joe's, and then they have their own separate days. But I think, yeah, I think you guys are going to dig that. Not too much else I could think about with Chapter 5 that sticks with me, except for Crystal. Crystal. She'll come back into the story. Maybe Joe should have been nicer to her. We'll find out. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up quick today. I need to get ready for my trip, input some stories, and create some more awesomeness. All right, hopefully you guys are digging it. We come back next week. We will have Chapter 6 of Brightside. All right, later.